הלוך הדלת. מדרגי התשובה ליאוס השוב צורק תומן לפני השם בבחי וסחנונם, ועוס הצדוק וכפי כוחו, ומסווח עיקר במן הדוב השוחותו בו, ומשן השמו, כלומר שאני אחר, ואיני עוסו האיש שעוסו עוסון המייסם, ומשן המס אף כולם לטוב ולדרך ישר. וכנס למשנה, פרק כמה דרש השנה, אומר, ויצרק עבור דבור מקרן גזר דינו של אודון, ואלו הן צדוק וצעוק השני השם ושני מייסה. So the Rambam learns that Shinei Maisa, the Lo Karashi, Shinei Maisa doesn't mean in terms of the Chet. Because it's clear that, again, in the context of the Gemara, the Dalet Dvarim, which are Mekarin Zadino Shel Adam, it means that there's something extra, right? That a person supplements the Tshuva. He supplements the Tshuva with Tzedakah. A person doesn't have to give tzedakah as part of doing tshuva. He supplements it with tzedakah, with shine Hashem. So shine Maisa means something above and beyond whatever shinoi is necessary just for the actual tshuva. So that's what the Rambam says. The pshat in shine Maisa is Mishana Masav Kulon Letov V'Ladaruch Yishar. How does he do that? So then he doesn't tell us. That's not what he's gonna have to write another Mishnah Torah, no? And even then, maybe it's not doable. What everyone has to, every one of us has to individualize it in the context of one's own life. But it could be that Rambam actually does. Could be that Rambam actually does tell us how to do it. And could be, again, the individuality notwithstanding, that there is a uniform prescription that the Rambam is giving. If you go back to Perek Aleph Hilchos Deos, so in Halacha Aleph, the Rambam illustrates the extremes, the ends of the spectrum, with regard to various deos. And then Halacha Gimli tells us that Shnei Ktzavos HaRachoko Zo Mizo, Shebechol Deo V'Deo Einan Derech Tova. It's not Derech Tova, but the extremes are not Derech Tova. And therefore, if necessary, yachzer atzmo lemuta v'yelech v'darach ha-tovim v'hi ha-darach ha-yashar. Further reinforcement, halacha dalet, ha-darach ha-yashara hi mida benin l'shev v'chol deyo v'deyo m'chol deyo sheyesh l'adam. And the clincher is at the end of Halacha Hey. Umetzuvim anu lalachas bedrachim elu habeinanim, vehem hadrachim hatovim v'hayishar. So yitachen that when in our halacha, when the Rambam says mishana masav kulan letova. Uladarach Yishara, Klar, at the very least, At the very least, it also means v'alach v'drachot. At the very least. Maybe that's entirely what it means. But at the very least, it can't be that the phrase derech yishar is a coincidence here. And when you think about it, the Rambam's Midat Beinonis touches upon virtually everything we do in life. When you think about it, hagam that it's a mitzvah pratis in the minyan taryad. But if you look, Halacha Dalet, again, back in the day, it was Perek Aleph, Halacha Dalet. Ketzad, around the 2-3 lines in. Ketzad. Lo yiyya bal chema noach lichos v'lo kemeshen umargish ala benoni. Lo yichos ala aldo v'gadol shavoy lichos alav g'day shlo yiyosa kayyotu b'lpam acheres. So a person has to moderate and modulate emotions based on the Midah HaBeinonis. V'chein lo yis'ave ela l'dvam sh'aguf tzorech lohem v'yi'efsha l'chios b'zulosem ke'inin sh'nema tzadik ocha l'sov v'nafsha. A person is supposed to moderate and modulate physical desires based on the Midah HaBeinonis. וכן לא יהיה עומל בעסקו אלא להסיק דבר שצריך ללכה ישר כעניין שנאמר טוב מעט לצדק. A person is supposed to, in terms of how much he works, and in terms of how much he works, so that goes into the initial decision of, not the only factor, but it's certainly a factor in what profession he enters. If there's a profession that doesn't allow for the Midah HaBeinonis, if there's a profession that says no, you can earn panasa b'ravach, but there's no such thing as working less than a 50, 60 hour work week. If you're able to stay awake when you get home at night, you'll have a lot of money to come. You know, only if you can. Only if you still have enough kaifas to stay awake at that point when you're going to get home. V'lo yikvot yado b'yosev, v'lo yifazer kol mamono, ela nosen stoki kifi misas yado, umal v'koroi l'misha tzorech. V'lo yihem b'holo v'sochek v'lo otzei v'onein, shouldn't be frivolous, shouldn't be morose, down in the dumps, El Somech Kol Yomad Benachas, Beseve Bonim Yofos, V'chein Shodei Osef. So it basically encompasses virtually everything a person does, which means that if a person wants one Yesod to be Mishana, Masav, Kulam, Latov, L'Dach, Yishara, it's time to look at everything he does through this lens. Yitochen, and again, it's certainly the pshat in Mishana Masav Kulon L'Darach Yishara. Is it possible that Latova here, again, even though Latova is also used to describe the Midah HaBeinonis, again, at the end of Aleph Hey, V'heim Hadrachim HaTovim V'HaYisharim, but is it possible from the fact that the Rambam didn't say Kulon L'Darach Tova V'Yishara, but said Kulon L'Tova L'derech Yishara, that Tova means to add even more to that. Let's say presumably, whatever degree of kavana a person has in davening, I don't know if it's a kiyum in v'alach v'drachov to have more kavana. Whatever whatever level of intensity a person has, whatever level of focus and concentration a person has when learning. I don't know if it's a kiyum in Balat Nevedoch, if he'll be somewhat more focused and concentrate even more. So you're talking that the Latova is also adding those things which wouldn't be touched upon by the Balach the Bedroch of the Lechariah. It seems pretty compelling that that's what the Rambam means when he says Derech Yishar. It's not just an undefined sort of an undefined term or prescription. The Pashtus is that in Shishi, Perek Vav Sukim Yudzan Yudches. So Shomo Tishbun as Mitzvos Hashem Elokechem Veidosa V'chukah V'shetzivach. And then Pasuk Yudches V'asisa HaYoshev HaTov B'Enei Hashem L'mayitach Loch V'asa V'yoshev HaSarot HaTov V'shenishva Hashem L'Avosecha. So Rambam famously, this is his second pshat that he offers in these Pesukim, says that Shomo Tishman is mitzvah Hashem Elokeichem, that which is explicit, which is explicitly spelled out and specified in the mitzvahs, and then extrapolate from there to do Hayoshev HaTov in all cases. And that's what he says, that Shomo Tishman is the prat, and then, but don't be content with being Mekayim, the Pirtei HaDvarim, but extrapolate from there to the Yesodos and apply them elsewhere. Now, Yitachen, that for the Rambam, the flow is the same, but different in the sense that it seems, in light of Paragalef of Deus, that the way the Rambam interprets Vasisa Yashav HaTov is that it refers to the Valach de Vidracha. That's the Pashtus, in terms of how the Rambam understood this passage. But for the Rambam also, it's the same sort of flow in the Pesukim. The Shomo Tishma is Mitzvah Hashem Elokeichem, that most mitzvahs are like more narrow in terms of the implications of the particular mitzvah. But then, in order that one's whole life be Alpi Torah, one's whole life be Avodas Hashem, so that in particular pay special attention to Vasisa Yashav. Midakei HaTshuva again, Lios HaShov Tzoek Tomid Lifnei Hashem B'vchi V'sachanunim. So the way we paraphrase this Maimah of Rabbi Yitzchak, albeit in the Yerushalmi's version of the Maimah, and the Mach says, Utshuva, Utfila, Utstoka, Ma'avir Nesra'a Gzer, right? It's only three of the four. I think the Yefet Naim already quotes on this Gemara Rosh Hashanah that in the Yerushalmi the parallel Maimah only has three. It doesn't have Dalet Bar. It has Gimel Bar. And the pasuk that the Gemara quotes, though, again, even though we paraphrase it as Utshuva Utfila Utzdaka, but the pasuk the Gemara quotes, the proof text is Vayitzaku al Hashem Batzalem Umintzukosehem Yatzile. So you see that the response to the tzaka is Yatzile. If you sort of juxtapose Hilchos Tefillah but when the Rambam defines the Chiyuv Tefillah, so he doesn't use the Lashon Tzaka. It's just I said the Hispalu B'chol Yom. In the Koteret it's Lamedus Hashem B'Tefillah, but then in the Halachas the Hispalu B'chol Yom. In Hilchos Taanios, there too the Rambam doesn't speak about just tefillah. There, I think it's not Zohar. I think it's with the Zayin. I think it's Zohar. I think it's Zohar in there. The Rambam has. But bracketing, what difference if any there is between those two terms? So both here in Hilchos Tshuva, and again, and the Rambam here in Hilchos Tshuva is reflecting the pasuk from Tehillim that the Gemara quotes, both here in Hilchos Tshuva and Hilchos Taanios, the Rambam doesn't speak of tefillah in terms of the hispalah, but in terms of again either tzaaka or zaaka. So the simple pshat would seem to be, let's say the context in Hilchos Taanios for Ferush is when there's an ace tzara, so then zoaken and you blow the chatzotzos. That there are different modes of tefillah depending upon the circumstances. And that the day the chi of tefillah involves one mode of davening. And let's say the ace tzara, whether it's Rav or Dever or Chisavom Melchamim Baratzachem, any of those Rachman al Islam, there it's a different mode of tefillah. The Parshas is but what this Rambam reflects, and again, the Rambam is reflecting the Gemara's Pasuk, if a person has the religious sensitivity on the one hand and the religious and emotional health and well-being on the other hand, a person is supposed to experience chet as an eis tzara, which is why the tefillah that accompanies tshuva, the Rambam doesn't describe as l'tzpalel. It's not she'yilios hashav mispalel tohet. But he's tzorek. Tzoraka is the mode of tefillah in an es tzora. Rambam speaks again from Rabbi Yitzchak about Shinei Hashem, and the Rambam says, "What's the significance of Shinei Hashem? Kol Mashani Acher. I'm different. I've changed my ways. Ve'eni also ha'ish she'asa osan ha'maisim." Of everything on the list, the Shinei Hashem seems to be, I don't know, seems to be superficial. Everything else on the list is very, very substantive. It's the Shinei Hashem, okay, so... Don't call me Reuven, call me Shimon. It seems a little bit superficial. I don't know, but maybe part of what the Rambam means is as follows. Maybe to consider the following scenario, and then after that return to the Rambam. Sometimes people are wondering, let's say on a job interview, you know, to what extent to try to, I don't know, downplay or hide the externalities of being Shomer Torah mitzvahs. But whether it means, can I take my yarmulke off entirely for the job interview? If my minhag ordinarily is I walk with a tzitzis up, should I pack my tzitzis in? So let's talk about the yarmulke. So whatever the technical answer is in terms of walking and being Begili Rosh, whatever the technical answer is, it's highly, highly, highly inadvisable for the following reason. A person is looking to camouflage who he is, what he is. So then he creates pressure for himself. So what's he going to do when, at the end of December, there's an office party? He sort of came in and put himself on a track of trying to, again, as much as is possible, camouflage who he is and the difference in terms of how he conducts himself and what he can and can't do. So what happens at the end of December? It gets complicated. And what happens when one's whole, sometimes within the workplace, there are the groups, and a person works as part of a group, so what happens if the whole group goes out for drinks? And again, so, I got the job, wanting to look like everyone else and seem like everyone else, so now there's tremendous pressure to maintain that. And that pressure doesn't push a person in a good direction. Masha'en Kain, a person comes in with his yarmulke. Now he's not being, you don't have to wear a bigger yarmulke than usual. He's not trying to be in their face, in the interviewer's face about it. No, he just comes in as who he is. As who he is. He comes in with the yarmulke. Is it possible that he won't get the job because of that? Yes, it's possible. I mean, they'll make sure to do it in a way that they can't be sued for discrimination, but they have the advice on how to do that. So yes, you talk about the person will not get the job because of that sometimes. Many, many times he will get the job. But then it's a clear, again, A, not only does it preempt the pressure we were just talking about, the negative pressure we were just talking about, but it creates a positive pressure on oneself. Because once you walk into the job interview, making a statement, you know, I'm an Orthodox Jew, so you create a positive pressure on yourself to live up to that. So not only does it preempt the negative pressure of how do I continue to posture not to be any different, and sometimes, I don't know, it doesn't work. But on the contrary, you preempt the negative pressure, you create positive pressure. Because once I make a statement, you know, this is who I am. I'm an Orthodox Jew, and I don't look to hide the fact. And on the contrary, the fact that I allow it to be seen, I'm proud of that fact. So then that creates a positive pressure that a person has to live up to that. Yitochen, the part of what the Shin Hashem represents is, if I tell people, don't call me Reuven anymore, call me Shimon, because what I did under the name of Reuven, I need to disassociate myself from that. I need to move beyond that. So it's not something superficial. It creates a very real pressure to now live up to that public statement. No one, any sensitive person, a person has to really, really dull his conscience to a tremendous degree not to lie awake at night worried about being inconsistent. No one wants to be a hypocrite. And again, no sensitive person wants. And when we do things that are wrong and that go against what we believe in, so it is a source of anguish, and it should be a source of anguish. So if a person makes the statement, no, I'm not Reuven anymore, henceforth I'm Shimon, because Reuven did X, Y, and Z, as Reuven, Asisi Kafakat, and that's not me anymore, so that creates a tremendous positive pressure to stick to the truth. It is really something which is very substantive. I don't know that that's the extent of what Shin Hashem represents, but you're talking that that's also part of it. Okay, so we'll stop there for now. We'll continue on Thursday.